Evening members, welcome to tonight's planning meeting.
Now, a slight rearrangement of the room only because I couldn't see the public gallery at the last meeting and there was a couple of gentlemen that were concerned that I hadn't noticed that they were there.
You enjoy the public gallery.
So I've moved and they've decided not to come. No. So, apologies for absence. I've received from Brenda Taylor and Steve Gazzard is here substituting this evening. Otherwise, I think everybody's here. We have no members of the public, so I'll move straight on. Minutes of the meeting held on the 3rd of October have been circulated. Is it your wish I sign them as a true record of the last meeting?
Yeah.
Thank you. Declarations of pecuniary interest and dispensations. Does any members any declarations they wish to make before we proceed?
The application for 17 Danby Terrace, the next door neighbours or acquaintances of mine, so I guess I've heard acquaintances of friends, I've heard declared.
There are no items of urgent business. Move on to determine applications under delegated powers. Firstly, Brixington, planning application 16, Oblique 2094, pre-application, land west of 5 St Marlow Close, Monterey Pine, pruned back 3 lateral branches as indicated in the application image. We have the tree officer's report, which I'll ask Sue to summarise for you.
Yes, the tree officer's reports only just came in, so apologies to councillors. Pardon? So apologies for the lateness in this. I'm sure it will rectify itself shortly. Right, the tree officer's report. He states this is a large, mature Monterey pine. It is part of a larger group and is visually significant and of a high amenity value. Damage to the vehicle at the applicant's property, you can just see the top of the vehicle there, has been previously experienced through branch failure, hence the request for the works to reduce the 3 lateral branches which currently hang over the drive of the property indicated there. The 2 lower branches, however, have been managed with a result that they are considerably shorter than they would have been, and further reduction would result in the removal of most of the foliage and therefore would be very detrimental to the physiological and structural condition of the tree. And the tree officer feels this should be refused. Approval of the reduction of the uppermost limb is felt appropriate, as this limb has the most potential to fail and cause more damage. So he's recommending a split decision. Recommendation to approve the prune back of the uttermost branch and to refuse the prune back of the 2 lower branches, as this would be very detrimental to the amenity value and the physiological condition of the tree. And there's a note from the tree officer to say that permission would need to be sought from the owners of the trees, which is East Devon District Council. Thank you.
Councillor Terry Nicholas or Councillor Maddie Chapman?
Can I just state as an observation that the tree is out of balance anyway? Because there's no branches on the other side.
Well, you can go against what he said, because, I mean...
Well, it looks ridiculous anyway. Should take those 2 off.
I mean, the applicant is doing works on an East Devon tree at his own cost, so...
Yeah, so we'll have a split decision then.
I'm going to the tree officer.
And I'll say I think it's out of balance anyway.
Well, we've had a proposal.
Can I just suggest, Chair, that what Maddie is saying is that it's not of high amenity value anyway, as the tree officer said.
I don't agree. It's a nice looking tree.
But it was high amenity.
Yeah, the tree officer said that, but Maddie is saying it's out of balance.
Well, we've had a proposal. We've had a proposal from Councillor Nicholas that we go with the tree officer's report, which is the split decision. Have I a seconder for Cherry's proposition? Thank you. So it's proposed and seconded for a split decision. Recommend to approve the prune back of the uppermost branch, but refuse the prune back of the 2 lower branches, as this would be detrimental to the amenity value and the physiological condition of the tree. All those in favour? All those against? So that's carried. application is in Littleham Ward, which is application 16, the big 2066 tree application, 34 Douglas Avenue, to fell a holly and to crown lift of 4 metres over development maximum diameter cuts of 75 millimetres and remove significant dead wood of an oak. We have received a tree officer's report, which I will ask Sue if she'll summarise for you.
Yes, he states this is a multi-stemmed mature holly, T5. Although subdominant to a lime tree grown on DCC's highway, it was retained as part of the landscaping of this new development. This evergreen tree provides all year round softening to the new development and the character, and it is unclear as to why there is a need for removal, but it is noted that currently some roots have been exposed and severed, which is currently being investigated by East Devon District Council Enforcement. On the other hand, the mature oak, which is T6, growing on the northern boundary, makes a significant positive contribution to the amenity and character of the surrounding area, and the works there are considered appropriate. So yet again, we've got a split decision. The tree officer is recommends refusal of the felling of the holly, as this tree forms part of the landscaping scheme and contributes to the amenity and the character of the area, particularly in the winter when other deciduous trees are leafless. And then he wishes to approve the oak to crown lift to 4 metres over the development with maximum diameter cuts of 75 millimetres and, of course, removal of the significant deadwood. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Jusserin? Is it all Councillor Nash?
I don't agree with the tree of absolute.
Okay. So proposed and seconded in line with the tree officer's report. All those in favour? Any against? Okay, that's agreed. Thank you. Move to the town ward, which is an advertising, which is 16, the big 2017 advertising, 42 Chapel Street, one internally illuminated fascia sign and one internally illuminated projecting sign. With no comments, Highway have no objection. We have no representations. Councillor Masding?
I have no objections to this.
Councillor Tony Hill?
No objections.
Okay, proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Any against? No, thank you. Then to Withycombe Raleigh Ward, application 16, a big 1960 advertising, Tesco, Salterton Road, 7 illuminated signs and 59 non-illuminated signs, including car park navigational signs and signs related to store and business promotions. And there's various supported drawings, which is nearly, they're all replacement signs for what they have at the moment. So I'm not going to go through all those signs. I hope everybody's had a look at the adjacent.
These drawings didn't come up until I actually spoke to the council, because they have been put on. So they scanned them in at a very late date.
Mm-hmm. We've had a hard copy for a long time now.
I appreciate that. But can we look at the illuminated?
Can I ask Councillor Gazzard if he's got observations first, as he's representing the ward first? Thank you. Steve, have you got anything before we look through?
Yeah, Chair. Obviously, I think this is the most signs that we've ever seen in an application. From looking at the hard copy, which I've done over two sessions, to me, it looks like what they're doing is a total rebranding.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a Tesco lorry come down today and it had one of the new signs on, so obviously they're doing this all over the country. I think a lot of the signs, the directional signs, will help to improve a lot of the front of the car park out there. People get confused which is the in and which is the out, which way it's supposed to go. I'm minded, Chair, to recommend approval, because I think a lot of them are replacing the old ones, and we're also talking about the garage as well. A lot of the signs are going to be the garage.
Yeah.
The illuminated ones, I'd be happy
Mr. Kagan.
I think it's a bit disconcerting they're saying the diesel's going up to 133.7.
Councillor Kagan.
Actually, when Councillor Gardner has brought up the point that I want to raise that, if they're illuminated externally, can they go off and make the
recommendation?
Because they do cause quite a lot of light pollution.
Yeah. But obviously, it's different hours on a Sunday, so.
I'll just ask a question that is happening there at the moment. It does cause confusion. It says the biggest sites test for 24 hours. Well, they're not 24 hours.
No, they're changing.
No.
But it still says 24 hours.
Yeah, but it says we're open Monday to Saturday, 6 a.m. to midnight on the side.
That sign on the top right there.
The top right is going to be changed. They are going to be 6 a.m. to midnight. Except for the garage, which is open, providing you pay by card after 8 p.m. I think. And the online, the other thing too is on this sign, it does say in-store, online and mobile, which is available 24 hours online and mobile. Exactly.
Everyone's open 24 hours.
Yeah. So, have I a seconder for Steve's? Thank you. So it's proposed and seconded for approval with the usual caveat that we want them turned off at out of business hours. All those in favour? Any against? Thank you. Now move on to consider the planning applications. Firstly, Brixington, 16, the Bleak 2367 full application, 56 Parkside Drive, single storey rear extension and alterations to decking. We have got a representation, which I'll ask Sue to just summarise for you.
Yes, first of all, Highways do not wish to comment, and there's one representation which says that it is an encroachment on the privacy of neighbours at the rear of the property, as the extension, which is elevated above this property, will overlook the conservatory, kitchen and dining room. They're also concerned that there is water runoff from this property, which would be added to through extra coverage of the ground. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Nicholas?
I looked at the last application that came through, and where they put the decking, I don't know, I think they must have raised that decking, the new one, purely because they have a summer house right in the back where they've now got decking. And if it was going to be that overlooking, the summer house would have been overlooking them anyway.
Mm.
So I really don't know. I couldn't see anywhere what the elevation was.
It's a single story building, so I can't see how you can say it's overlooking.
Well, I think the single story, the rear extension and alterations to the decking, I think
it
sits above this.
Well, yeah, it depends whether the extension is on the.
Yeah.
The summer house is still there.
Yeah, see, there is a summer house.
Yeah.
And the
That's
new one, if you look, it just looks as if they've replaced it with decking.
Yeah. Yeah, they have.
But it doesn't
that.
Say how high the new decking is.
Does it not say next to? Because it says alterations to decking, doesn't it? So.
Yeah. See, what they've basically done is they've away with the shell, they have a shell border. The back of the old conservatory. They've taken the conservatory and built it lengthwise for half of it, and then extended the bedroom on the other half.
So basically, the neighbours are saying that the single story extension, which is on top of the decking, which is where the summer house was, which of course wouldn't have had windows and everything in it, and that this is now overlooking. Mm-hmm. Councillor Cagle.
Chairman. For the uninitiated, do you need planning permission for decking?
Certain decking.
Raised,
if it's a if it's raised decking, then you do.
Yeah.
If it's raised,
decking.
No, if it's flat
on block,
present
land. No, but if it's raised decking, you do.
So is that raised decking?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is what it says is obviously they're doing so because it says alterations to decking, so they must be doing something to the decking. I don't know whether they're making it bigger or higher.
Configuration.
Yeah, I think it's just the configuration so you can get the single story extension in.
They must have had permission in the first place for the decking.
Yeah, I mean, they would have had to have permission for the decking. because it's raised decking, so they must have had permission for that in the first place. But the I presume what the objector is saying is that obviously the single story extension on the decking is going to be overlooking, but I don't know the property, so if you've got any difficulties with it, I don't know.
I would like to know how high, what the difference is in the height of the left hand decking and the right hand decking.
I don't think there's any difference in height. I think what they've done is extended
the
decking to the right. So I think the decking is probably as it was. But if you look at the could you just lift that up a bit?
The summer house is there on the left.
Yeah, but the decking
side.
Is going across,
step.
Isn't it?
Mm.
So the alteration to the decking would probably be to make the
so
to go further across, not necessarily.
Level.
Yeah, I mean it's probably not
it
necessarily changing in height.
Yeah.
It's probably going further out to make
yeah.
room for the single story extension.
Everywhere around there, because it's on the hill, they're all the same, aren't they?
Right.
Yeah.
So
except that I've worked out that the person that's complaining must live in Marion's Way. What I couldn't figure out is why didn't they complain about the summer house, which was there in the first place? And you would, if it was
did you look at the previous application?
No.
No.
Well, it says for the first one.
But it's single story, so I don't see how you can object.
No.
No. Okay. So are you making a proposition to approve, or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't see any reason for.
Okay. And you're seconding, are you?
Yeah.
So proposed and seconded for approval.
It's a single story.
Yes.
I can't see you can do anything about
it. Okay. All those in favour? Any against? Thank you. Now move to Halston. First application 16, the big 2126, full application, East Lodge, Courtlands Lane. Construction of replacement dwelling. The highways are given the normal standing advice, and we have no representations. Councillor Dumper.
I thought that I was going to object to this because I thought they were pulling down a nice old stone dwelling. When I actually went up there and had a look at it, it isn't very brilliant.
No.
however. What they say is they're building a new one on the same footprint, so I'm sure that in that way, unless it's totally out of keeping, I mean, it doesn't. The trouble with that estate is you've got a mix of the old Courtlands outbuildings and the new bungalows and all the rest of it. So I'm not entirely sure that we can object, although
I was going to say I'm not keen on the design, but
no.
In view of the fact that there is a variable designs on that particular estate, I don't know that you can do anything. Because
exactly,
if you go down
right.
into the courtyard, it's all glass, and you go further along, it's a very small bungalow, so they're all variable.
Yeah.
Councillor Cahill?
Thank you. One assumes then that as it's replacement to it, it's not going to change in height or width.
Well, it's on the same footprint. It says in the
don't
plans.
Know about
it's
height.
No, I think the height might be.
The same dimensions,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah, but it's on the same footprint. But height-wise, I think it's slightly different. Actually, looking at the plan, but in saying that, if you design-wise, you've got a difficulty because all those houses on that particular area are all very different. You haven't got a strict design like you have in Little Mead.
No, and they get a lot of modern designs nowadays.
Yeah, certainly in Liverstone they've got a variable, haven't they? It is quite high, I would agree it is quite high. But there is one at the back of the estate that's quite high. Yeah, but it is actually the same footprint, it's just it's a very different...
And there's lots of hedges and such
Yeah, I'm happy to second.
Yeah, I propose.
Okay, I'm happy to second. Propose and seconded for approval, all those in favour? Any against? Thank you. Next application is 16, a big 2291, full application, 25 Essington Close. Construction of side dormer, including roof lights and extension to roof to facilitate loft conversion. Councillor Jill Elson objects to this application as the proposed extension is overbearing, out of keeping, and overlooks Little Mead Lane. And if those are the councillors, as I did, went up to have a look, and I'm sure the other councillors did too, will know that this is practically built. And it's actually a retrospective planning application. And I have got photographs here that show you that it's actually been built. And from Little Mead Lane, this is the extension that you can see that's absolutely way above. This box here is the extension to this house, which you can actually see, you know, from Little Mead Lane.
Yeah.
I mean, I personally think it's totally overbearing and out of keeping with the area.
It's horrible.
Yeah, it is absolutely disgusting.
All I would say is that I noted, you know, and I know there's a lot of people up there objecting to it and all the rest of it. But I looked along the line in Essington Close, and there is one there with a big rear dormer as well. So that's obviously been overlooking those little
things. I mean, the thing is, it also has a Juliet balcony and a Juliet windows.
Yeah.
And those of us who were involved with the Arum retrospective planning application will know that one thing the planning officer has actually said and has asked them to take out is a Juliet window and a Juliet balcony is the one thing that we did manage to secure with the Arum. So in Little Mead Lane. So Councillor Cahill.
Thank you, Sean. Are they very bright and buildings before you got planning applications?
Well, I think you may recall we did have an application for a certificate of lawfulness a little while ago for the same property. And I think that was possibly the avenue they were going to try and follow, because part of it must have been built before. If you go and have a look at it, part of the roof does actually look similar to what's already there. It looks as if it's been built for some time.
Does, doesn't it?
So I think what they were going along, they did ask for a certificate of lawfulness to say that some of it had been built already, which was refused by East Devon District Council. And they were told they had to put in a planning application. So I think that's probably an ongoing, and also originally they thought, because rear dormers are allowed by permitted development, I think they were going along that line, but of course it's not a rear dormer as such, it's a whole side of the house. It's if you looked at you've got the dormer at the back, but you've got the whole of the side as well, so it's enormous actually if you go and look.
Well,
it's actually enormous. No, but you've only got to go a Little Mead Lane and I'll tell you, can't
I think the whole principle of building something before you got permission is wrong.
So, well, you can see it's on the whole of the side as well as the back of the house. So.
Chairman, can I make an observation? The dormer windows look very big.
Well, it's a Juliet balcony. It's a double door Juliet balcony, which is the one that is in here at the back. Is a Juliet double doors and a balcony and a Juliet balcony. You know, one that.
It is quite appalling. It is absolutely appalling.
It is, you know, so I'm afraid. I mean, I'm happy to propose refusal on the basis that, as my sister's actually said, that it is overbearing and totally out of keeping with the area.
Yeah.
So proposed and seconded. All those in favour of refusal? Those grounds? Thank you. Next application is 16/2137, full application, Lovering House, Holham Road. Construction of replacement 2 metre fence. Highways do not wish to comment and have had no representations. Do you want to start, Councillor Cahill?
Thank you. Well, I think that property had already had a fence. And is it 2.2 metres that they can build?
I mean, I think there's been some concern, although that we haven't had any representations about the Devon Bank, actually, that seems to have gone the other side of the other side of the fence. I think that's probably why this is.
But there has been a fence there originally.
Yes, there has.
So, it's replacing like for like, you know.
I think it's a slightly different fence, but I've got no problem with it.
Can I ask then, because I hadn't heard about the Devon Bank or the chair, enforcement or anybody can ask?
Well,
about that?
This you can't see from here, can you? Because we haven't got a picture of the new fence, have we? That's because there's a new fence, and what's concerning is that it's the bank is now behind the fence, which is what the concern was from other residents. So as you can see, the fence is the other side of that bank, whereas it was, of course, the other. Yeah, that's the new fence.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I've got a problem with the fence because it's always had a fence, but I think we just need to ask about the Devon Bank if people are happy that we do that.
Yeah.
Well, it definitely does get a land so that they can put planted in or whatever.
Yeah. which is usually Devon Banks are part of the highway and part of the property.
Mm.
They don't usually belong to the property, they're usually part of the highway.
Did anybody from the planning authority check that they were doing it as they were works went along?
I wouldn't have thought so.
No,
I wouldn't think on the landscaping by then.
If that's an ancient monument, they can't impose it anyway.
Well, I mean, this is what we were concerned about when Councillor Stott's just walked in, but we were just saying, Pauline, that our concern is that this fence is the other side of the Devon Bank, is what we're just discussing here. We're just saying that if we approve the fence, we need to clarify about the Devon Bank.
Can we ask for clarification on the
actual Devon Bank down?
Oh, right.
They've got their diggers in behind. In actual fact, I mean, I've been through the enforcement officer with this, because I said that they're land grabbing,
because their
boundary is where the Devon Hedge is, and he says not. He said they're entitled to go out to the pavement, which I've never heard such rubbish on enough of it. I can't argue with him, and that's, they wouldn't take enforcement against them, but they had to apply for planning.
Mm-hmm. That's okay, thank you.
Isn't it so, Chair, that normally Devon Bank, recognised Devon Banks are protected anyway?
Well, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's true, because when they built all those houses there, we had a real row with them because they took down the Devon Bank, you know, the houses further up, and they had to reinstate either a bank or a fence. But it was a shame because there was a Devon Bank right back. And if those, that picture doesn't do it justice, because if you find the other picture, which is where they haven't taken down the Devon Bank yet,
that's the previous picture, Ron. Yeah.
No,
I'm just saying you can see where it was.
But there's another further along where they're going to build this new house.
Yeah.
There is still part of the Devon Bank, but they might have taken it down there. You can see with the fence how much land they've actually stolen, if you like.
Well, I think it should be moved.
I mean, I just thought that Devon County would be quite mad about it because it's actually from our
little
I thought that was in the wrong highway.
No, they haven't called it.
We've had the same thing in our place, and because the thing about grass cutting and everything like that, if a resident wants to move the fence up to the boundary and take sort of a yard off the planning authority, i.e. East Devon, and East Devon then doesn't have to maintain the grass, they seem to be quite happy from what I can tell to allow people to extend them.
Yeah.
Boundaries.
Well, we can certainly comment about the Devon Bank, but if Councillor Stott has already gone into that and they've said that. But I think we still need to comment on it.
I think we can object on that basis and then let East Devon Bank comment.
Yeah.
I think we should.
Yeah.
But if it's their land, we can't object, can we?
No, if it's their land, we can't object.
If East Devon have decided that they
can't
stay
well,
but I think we need to comment on the Devon Bank.
Yeah,
Councillor Dumper.
I disagree with that. I think certainly you as a district councillor and those around this table of district councillors can very definitely object to that if it's being made a general policy.
But the one that was down the road for me, I didn't object to because it has improved the amenity of that particular area.
Mm.
But,
and the land, the person that's now maintaining it has moved the fence. And you haven't got all the brambles and the dog poo.
But from a purely planning point of view, that if Devon Banks are protected, then the Devon Bank is the key thing, and that should still be there.
But
and in public.
Yeah.
Is the planning application not? Is it just for a replacement 2 metre fence? So that's what we're actually talking about.
Well, no, the previous fence was lower than 2 metres because it didn't. It was on top of the. It was by the bank, but I think actually it must have been 1.8 because you don't have to apply for planning permission unless it's over 1.8 metres.
Right.
And this one's 2 metres, which is why they're applying for planning application.
Well, it says replacement 2 metre fence, but if they're not following the original mark, I think we have every right to object on the basis of they've rerouted it and they've taken in a bank of historical bonds or otherwise. And I think, notwithstanding what East Devon might do, we're entitled to make that observation.
What's the general view that we object because of taking the. Sorry, Councillor Gazzard.
I think they do object on the height, because I think it is higher than it should be.
Yeah.
That's just my view. I think it's 1.8.
1.8 is what you're allowed.
This
isn't
is 2.
Yeah. 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 Okay. So we object to the proposed refusal of the application, and also to on the height of the fence, and to make an observation concerning the Devon Bank and raise our concerns. All those in favour? Any against?
Can we remind these Devon that they are protected?
Thank you. Next application 16, a big 2281, full application to Bapton Close. Proposed new garage with upstairs storage. Highways do not wish to comment. We haven't had any representations, but that's if you could read the plan, because it was so bad on the East Devon website. It was absolutely awful to see. Councillor Dumper?
What I would say is that it's obviously an improvement on the covering the whole garden proposal they had before, but it would worry me, the upstairs storage thing, what it might be used for in the future. And I would ask that if we do approve it, the planning district look at it carefully.
Well, I think we can obviously do what we've done in the past to say that it's restricted as a garage and not take away any rights that it's used as a private dwelling
basis,
unless it's no permitted.
Yeah. On that basis, I'll propose it.
Thank you. Based on what was there before, I think it's a great improvement. And, they've worked extremely hard to get the drainage right. Quite a lot of characters have what I would call loft storage. So are we worrying unnecessarily here? The whole application talks about the garage for them to work on their cars, their boats, their motorcycles. Storage in a loft space of a garage is not, I would have thought, unreasonable. So that's my view.
I think we've just noticed we've had quite an increasing number where they have been turned into playrooms or games rooms or
rented out.
Various
in recent
times. So what we've tended to do is ask them to make
a note. 20 odd years ago, there was a Channel 4 programme, Concrete and Green Teas, related to North Cornwall District Council planning, that specifically looked at that area of having garages that were then created as accommodation.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the, and if you look around the country, I think, Chair, there's an awful lot of that going on. So,
But likewise, there is even loft space for garages.
Yeah, and I think if we approve, subject to having a clause on to say that it's
storage only,
then I think obviously that should be okay if he's got any problems with that. So proposed and seconded for approval on that basis. All those in favour? Thank you. Move on to Littleham Ward, application 16, bleak 0956, full application, 29 Foxholes Hill. Retention of caravan and porch for temporary period during renovation works. Highways do not wish to comment, but we have had a representation, which I'll ask Sue to summarise for you.
Yes, the representation from the neighbour states that the unsightly caravan, sited since 2014, has been extended with a brick porch and would not be removable once the extension is finished. The neighbour wishes it to be noted that the glass in the windows of the dwelling overlooking his property have not been fitted with obscure glass in line with the original permission. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor
Sarum
or Councillor Nash?
Yes, let's deal with the caravan first of all. This porch you can see out there in brick with cladding over. It went up in January 2 this year. Of course, the enforcement officer was notified, came to visit and said that they must put in the planning permission. So it's retrospective, really, like a lot of other things. Why is that caravan there? Well, the owner of the building where he's converting what was the old Coast Guard cottages sold off half of the cottage and then moved the caravan in and then built an extension on the remaining house. So there is no space, the caravan can never be taken out now. And, well,
they demolished the
there's a mobile home, and then that was number one. Then number two, obscure glazing not fitted on the new extension. The new extension, nothing to do with the caravan, it's an extension that was put onto the house, overlooking other people's properties. And we as a planning council said no. But as he'd already built it, as he's done with everything, it's already a two-story extension built, finished, they'd have to put obscure glass in. I see the enforcement officer has said obscure glazing not fitted on the new extension. It is interesting that the owner affected because it's the side of their property, means they've got a door and windows looking directly into their sitting room and directly into their bedroom from the upper story as well. And it's very, very close. It's according to the plans, all the glazing on our side of the property is to be obscure. But Mr. Eaton, who has installed clear glass, has disputed this and claims he's not going to change the windows. One looks right into our sitting room, only a few feet away.
The enforcement officer will have to go again then?
Well, the enforcement officer goes, but nothing happens. Enforcement officer says, as you can see in this document, planning enforcement number two, obscure glazing not fitted. The chap refuted to do it a year later. In fact, a year after we said,
I think we need to highlight that and ask what action is going to be taken in that case. Ask the enforcement officer what action is going to be taken, as it he has reported it. So.
Can we also say that we object to the retention of the caravan because if we allow it to stay, once the alterations are done, there's no way for the caravan to be removed?
Well, he actually says
he has actually said, I think Sue...
Yeah, I was just going to say, he just said, I did question how it's going to remove the caravan once the extension had been built. The caravan was installed before the building commenced, to which he replied he intended to cut it up with an angle grinder.
Well, we don't believe him because he doesn't know what he says.
Also, can I just add that because this reconstruction, refurbishment as he calls it, of number 29 has been going on for nearly 3 years now, the ground, the front of the garden, hasn't been touched for 3 years. It's full of filth and rubble. The wall has been taken down. The people living opposite have got so fed up they've sold their house and moved. It is deplorable. It's disgusting, frankly. You wouldn't, with respect, tolerate it. People in Denton on the council state wouldn't tolerate a muck in the garden that people in Foxhall are living with.
Mm.
So I think we really put an underline to the enforcement officer a visit.
Yeah. So are you proposing refusal of the retention of the caravan and the renovation? Yeah, Councillor Gazzard.
On the points that Bill was just raised now, could we also ask for the environmental health as well?
Yeah, certainly.
Because it's not being lived in by Mr. Eaton, the owner, who says the purpose of the caravan is while he's doing the construction of the house. He's not doing any work on the house. From the neighbours, the occasional bloke or blokes and other people sleep in it on occasions. It is a mess, it really is a mess.
Over to
the
enforcement. So we've proposed, and I've got a second, I presume, maybe Bruce, you're seconded.
Yes,
yeah, so proposed and seconded that it's refused, as Bill has said. But also, we want to ask the enforcement officer what action he is going to take in pursuing the fact that the extension has got clear glass and not obscure glass. And generally, really, don't you want, and we'll ask the environmental officer also.
Chairman, you did, I think, see mention health and safety.
Yeah.
Another part that he's built on is he has a brick porch on the front of the two-story extension without planning permission.
Yeah.
Says
well, that's...
But
that's
even worse than above it, he's now fitted a door, a glass door leading out onto a balcony, but there are no railings, and occasionally there's a workman there who brings children, and the children are running around on a roof with no railings.
I think
it's a health and safety issue as well.
Yeah.
So
in that case, it needs the environment officer, doesn't it, as well as the enforcement officer to go back. So we'll propose and second it for refusal on those grounds. All those in favour? Any against? No. Thank you. Now move to town ward. application 16 of the 2349, full application 17 Danby Terrace, construction of single storey rear extension. There are no representations and Highways don't wish to comment. Councillor Hill?
Yeah, it's an interesting application. Have you got the proposed combined? Okay. Yeah, this is what I say about us needing some plans, some decent plans. All of these houses are built with a former outhouse that's been converted to two stories. It's the same along the whole length of the street, but that forms a dead patch between the two blocks, rear tenements, if you like. And what they're proposing is actually to infill the gap between the two tenements, so it doesn't have any issues of overlooking or anything else. It's only on the ground floor. They will then open into the gap. I'm not using the point of the entrance. This is the old tenement, and they're proposing to fill this, but this is the part of the wall, this is the neighbour's wall which comes to here. So I looked at it today. They have now said they're not putting in two aerial lights, they're only putting one, which is a bit odd, but the fact is all they're doing is filling in that space. Now, I don't think there are any issues other than the Party Wall Act, but that's really the path for the neighbours to resolve. The only concern I had is in principle it is an awful lot of increase of footprint. Probably 20-odd%. But it is dead space, and it's damp, it's grey, and if you don't do something with it, then people don't get the utility. And other people do it themselves, but don't seek planning permission. So I'm in mind to say, let him sort out his party wall and agree. it's a pragmatic, but apart from the fact that it's a big space.
Councillor Mastin?
Yeah, I didn't interpret the plan exactly that way, but it's quite a small development, and I have no objection.
So proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Any against? Thank you. Next application is in town, and we've got two here. We've got the listed building consent, and we've also got the full application. I'll deal with the listed building consent first because we've got different representations, I think, in respect of the various items. Are they the same? Similar?
There's three extra for the.
Okay, we'll take the two together in that case. So it's 16 League 2119 listed building consent and 162118 full. It's the old sale loft 9-11 Camperdown Terrace, change of use of building to 6 apartments, including internal and external alterations. And the second application, which is a full application, also says internal and associated parking. There are various representations for both, which I'll ask Sue if she'll summarise, please.
Yes, first of all, Highways don't wish to comment, and even though all the representations are all to do with parking. So anyway, the East Devon have lodged representations against two of them for two of the representations, and another three for the one that's just got full after it, so I'm not quite sure why they've done that. Anyway, the Exmouth Civic Society have no objection to it being used as residential accommodation, but wish the stonework beneath the cladding to be renovated in line with the temporary permission granted to the installation of the cladding to temporarily protect the stonework of this listed building. So in other words, it was a temporary measure to protect the stonework from weather, etc. And also that there is inadequate parking within the site. And then a representation also objects to the adequate parking provision, which should be doubled. Cladding should be removed to enable the character of the old building to be restored, and also that there was no provision for storage of bicycles or drying of washing. And then in addition to those two representatives, there was actually neighbours saying that the windows would overlook the property at the rear of sale loft, encroaching on their privacy. And the other reps were mainly to do with the parking issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Mastin?
Oh, yes, thank you, Chair. I thought this was, I read the impact assessment, and I see that unless this building is developed, it's going to deteriorate further and be a total loss. So I do think that it's important that we develop this building, and obviously, housing is really the only thing that's any good for these days. I know that they're planning to keep the existing windows they've always overlooked the properties around, and the building has been used for residential at some time in the past. Obviously not six dwellings. I think it's a good plan, and despite the parking problems, I was just going to get for approval.
Thank you. Councillor Hill?
No, I agree. I think it's always difficult to take a listed building and try and bring it in up to date and into some form of use, but that's why we have the conservation officers who rationalise all that for us. I think it does need to be brought back into use. It's a bit of a quandary with regard to the cladding, because I've got used to it having the cladding, to be honest, but if in terms of its renovation, if they take the cladding off and improve the original stonework and restore it, I'd be more than happy with that. So other than the issues, the concerns of parking or otherwise, I agree, and I think let's get on with it and bring the building back into good use and have some utility for it.
I mean, we'd have to make it subject to the listed building consent officer anyway, so.
Knowing this building, am I right in thinking that the boat racking storage is still beside it? Is it that still there? Because that's part of the same site, if I'm not mistaken. It's gone, is it? So, what's happened to that? Has that been developed?
It's just empty at the moment, isn't it?
So they could use it for parking and push bikes and whatever, if it's part of the same site.
Yeah.
And the houses that have overlooked, surely they came after the sale off, so that's not an issue, is it?
No. No, okay, thank you. Councillor Gazzard?
Thank you, Chair. I've got no problems with it being converted into housing. What I do have a problem with is that some of us around here remember 6 years ago when we had the original application come in about the planning. It was supposed to be for a temporary clearing. Well, temporary has turned into 6 years. And there was a clear stipulation about the rendering. Couldn't afford it at the time, that's why the temporary planning went up. But I do think that it's a grade 2 listed building, the planning should come down and it should be back to its original state.
You can ask why the enforcement officer hasn't gone back in 6 years to sort that out.
Well, he's been asked several times.
Has he?
Yeah.
Please, the listed building officer probably might well make those comments.
Yeah.
Councillor Nash.
Yes, I agree with what's been said, that this cladding was temporary and was put up because it was considered the building wasn't safe. There was so much water penetrating the lime mortar, which is 200 years old, that the deterioration was so fast, they were frightened the top would completely sink and fall off. So they put temporary cladding up. Now, if they take the cladding down, they can't just convert it. There's got to be a lot of structural work and close control along with the listed building regulations to ensure that it comes back to what it was originally. Because I do remember when it was a sale off, then converted to a warehouse, it was closed down because it wasn't felt to be safe. And there's all sorts of other activities went on up there. And the radio station, I seem to remember at one point, and you had to be careful where you walk because the building wasn't safe. Since then, it's just been left and the cladding put up. I really think this could be a dangerous residence unless it's investigated. That, to answer your question, Chairman, there's a piece of land where there used to be the racks called the Lattice Boneyard, which is owned by the applicant. That could be used for not only storage of bins, bicycle racks, but also car parking where there is not sufficient car parking. So that could be used.
Okay. I think it's proposed and seconded for approval, but we'll draw attention to the cladding that we feel that should be removed and the stonework brought back. But also, obviously, subject to the listed building officer, which it'll have to be anyway because it's a grade 2 listed building. All those in favour? Thank you. Next application is 16, V2283, full application, 10 Perryman Row. First floor rear extension. Highways do not wish to comment and there's no representations. Councillor Hill?
I have no comment on that.
Thank you. Councillor Masdy?
Sorry, I'm not with you
Evans Road,
oh, right on there, yes.
First floor rear extension.
Yeah, yeah, that, I thought this was quite a small thing and quite in keeping with the outside, no objection.
Thanks. So proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Against? Thank you. Finally, in town, 16, the bleak 2299, full the waterfront pierhead, installation of cladding and flue. Highways do not wish to comment. Conservation officer does not wish to comment either, and we've had no other representations. Councillor Masding?
Yes, I was rather alarmed by the proposal to put a big sign on the roof saying Rockfish. It would be on the far end from where we're seeing at the moment. I think something on the roof would look terrible and would obviously attract lots of weather damage very quickly and look very tatty. I've had a look at the place this evening. There is, on that far end, there is no fascia at the moment where they could put the signs which are shown here, the narrow things, but there is plenty of space for putting a squarer sign on both of the end parts. So, yeah, I've got an objection to having the sign on the roof.
Certainly the signage will come back to us under advertising.
Yeah.
If there's any difference in signage to what's already there, it would have to come back to us in advertising.
Right.
So that would be a separate application. This is only in respect of the installation of the cladding and flue.
Right, yeah, and the cladding, well, that will alter the whole character of the building, but it's not necessarily too bad. Obviously, it could be removed at some later stage if possible, if it was found to be a problem.
Yeah, well, if they've got a new sign, that will have to come to us as an advertising application. Councillor Hill?
No, I've got the same reservations about it. I don't think, looking through, I couldn't actually see whether they'd given us any schematic that would suggest what it looked like, other than the other shops anyway. So it's rather like when we had the application for the
This is only
like 6 metres.
Yeah, but I mean, this application is only for the cladding and the flue, because any advertising change will have to come to us as an advertising application. So this is only in effect of the cladding, which the conservation officer doesn't seem to have a problem with.
No, no.
But I mean, the signage will have to come to us separately, because it's definitely not on there, is it? No.
Chairman?
Yes?
I'm just disappointed you didn't read out the comment from the district councillor, which was submitted on the 11th of October.
I have to say, I've not got it before me, so I'll ask the clerks.
Which, from yourself, Bill?
Yes, I'll read it out.
Yeah, we didn't read it out because we didn't.
The 11th of October. I said, this application concerns the fixing of the flue, which I have no problem with. The cladding to be placed over the quality brickwork is regrettable, but to achieve Rockfish brand image of blue painted wood is of necessity. I do regret that we've got a building where at the time we insisted that it had to be brickwork.
Mm.
Some people say it's not very nice brickwork, but it is brickwork. It's now going to be covered in not just cladding, but rough looking wood painted bright blue with white lettering all over it. But that is the image of Rockfish, and we all want Mr. Tonks and his restaurant, so they've put up with it. But you say, Madam Chairman, that this isn't an application for signage.
No.
But it does show on.
Yeah, it does, I agree.
All the signage.
Yeah.
So
I do agree with
it. Signage or not?
Well, no, the signage will have to come under an advertising application.
But once you put the cladding up.
But he's not.
Is he
signed?
Yeah, it doesn't actually say about signage in here. What it does say about the cladding and painting it blue,
yeah.
But it doesn't actually say about the signage.
Signage. If you're painting cladding blue to match
your. Well, no, it doesn't actually say.
It's grey pine,
timber boarding, it says. These three.
Yeah, it's essential. I'm not saying no, but it's just a pity that you have nice three words. You may not like
Briggs. Just as I should place it with his own logo, Rockford. But I mean, I agree with what everybody has said, that he has said in the planning proposal that he proposes to do the sign on the roof, and I agree with that, but as advertising, and it should come as a separate, this is only asking for the cladding. He hasn't actually asked for the signage, which is grey in here. It's not actually, although he does say in here that pink and blue, doesn't he? Yeah, but he says in here.
I mean, the cladding will be put on without detriment to restoration subsequently, will it?
Painted in that fish blue.
Is there a possibility
Is
there a possibility that because he's got the roof thing in here, he could take it as he's got the go ahead for it?
It should be on an advertising application. I'm happy to ask the clerk. I should get it clarified, but this should be completely separate because it's a separate officer at East Devon that deals with advertising. And we have to get, don't we? We have to follow different, and it definitely says proposal, installation of cladding and flue. But I think what we'll do is draw attention when we give our response, is that we draw attention to the advertising and that we would expect an advertising application. Yeah, but the signs are also on here, but what I'm saying is that the signs, on the next page it actually says about the signs and the roof and everything, which is what Councillor Masding was talking about, but that the actual application that we have is only asking for the cladding and flue. It would have to be an ADV if it advertising application for change of advertising. And that's the same with any premises that we have in, you know, that we've had in the town, even where they've done all sorts of things and then suddenly think, oh, I'm supposed to get advertising application. But we'll draw it to the attention of East Devon, and if they say it includes it, then we'll have to obviously have to bring it back.
Can we make a proviso that cladding can only be installed without detriment to future returning the building back to brick, i.e. it has to be sensitively climbed?
I know nothing about cladding, so
otherwise
Bill
would be disappointed later.
Smash it up by sticking boarding all over it. If then when it wants to move, it would just be left, so it would be a complete mess. So I agree with you from a building point of view,
yeah.
It would be sympathetic.
Yeah. We'll add that into the. So, with those conditions, it's proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Any against? Thank you. Right, move on to items for consideration. At the last meeting, we did mention the East Budley with Bicton neighbourhood plan and did ask if the Brixton ward members could look at the plan and come to this meeting with any observations they wish to make. Have the Brixton members got any observations they wish to make? Has either of you got?
It did come up at cabinet.
Right. Yeah.
No,
yeah,
no,
he's actually saying if you've got some information, she'd be grateful,
stamp,
I think.
If you like, but,
yeah.
It was
rubber stamp.
Rubber stamp,
mm.
If you like.
Yeah.
And it will be going out for further consultation, you know, for the.
Well, we had until today to be able to put any views in. No. Okay. So there's nothing that you wish us to put forward, that's the thing.
Yeah, but I thought it was really good.
Yeah. Okay. But there's no observations you want made in the consultation. That's the important thing. Okay.
Well, all I would say is that, as far as I'm concerned, I hope ours looks as good as this, except it's going to be about four times as thick because we've got a lot more people. And the other thing that struck me was they've got something for everything. Communication infrastructure, which they haven't got a lot of, because of where some of the places are. They've mentioned the AONB, and there's also another place where a tenant is in situ, where they can't really do a lot about it, but they are hoping that when the tenant moves on, that will be returned to be reimbursed. So they're putting everything like that in there. And as I said, I was quite shocked how many assets they have actually.
Yes,
got,
yeah.
Including the car park.
Yes, yeah.
Yes.
So there's no observations other than very good ones. There's
no
other ones. Yes.
They got all the wiggles.
Yeah. Then the second item for consideration is Budley Salterton's neighbourhood plan. Pre-submission draft document is now available for consideration. The plan's available for consultation till the 11th of November 2016. Again, can I suggest members have a look at the actual documents and we bring it back to the next meeting if anybody's got any observations that they want us to consider. And then the third item for consideration is the Gypsy and Traveller site design and layout supplementary planning, which again is comments and response to the draft supplementary planning guidance. The draft plan is available for consultation until the 15th of November. Members will recall we were consulted in December 2015, in which the committee proposed that the long range hotel site near the A30 could be reinstated. This is noted by East Devon District officers in the draft plan consultation statement and comments that long range hotel was for sale recently at a cost of £525,000. With grounds of just over 2 acres and planning permission for 12 lodges in the grounds, it might have potential. However, it's no longer for sale, and even if it were, the cost of purchase and laying out would far exceed the budget agreed by members. I think generally most people agreed that it was probably better for any site to be along the A30 than further in. I think that was generally what members here felt. But I mean, if you want to, you know, unless anybody's got any real wish, I was going to, you know, you can probably make any observations you wish. I think our general observation was that we thought it was be more viable if it was along the A30 than anywhere else in East Devon. So with that, I'll leave that with you. Items for information, just tree preservation orders. Trees at and adjacent to Bradham Court. Proposal for land at 26 Hillcrest Gardens. Trees at Hillcrest Gardens again, and land to the south of Hillcrest Gardens. The tree preservation orders has been confirmed. And an appeal decision, which was for a loft conversion, including front dormer windows at 1 Radden Style Lane. An appeal was dismissed. And I trust the council's concerned have had the copy of the decision notice. The planning decisions, as you can see, the majority were similar to our own, although some of the applications were withdrawn before it went up to East Devon District Council. And the only one that we did have a bit of a fight over, which was land to rear of Arum, Little Mead Lane, which I think we all felt there should be an objection. It was conditionally approved with some conditions concerning the Juliet balcony and the property, but I think it was generally here anyway, it generally felt that again it was a retrospective, and we've actually been having more and more retrospective applications, and we have raised our concerns with East Devon on that. I think otherwise our decisions were similar to those. With all that, I will close. Oh, sorry. About the general plans, we did say that to the gentleman who came tonight.
Wasn't it for a
Nick Wright? Nick Wright came. We did say we were going to have difficulty, and some of the plans, I have to say, were very difficult to see this time.
Mm.
Very difficult. And we were promised that they would. Yeah. So if we could say, if you'd be happy, Steve, that we could mention your own personal difficulties that we do need to have a clerk copy. That'd be good.
Well, it's worth, Jen. There was a High Court decision a few years ago when a council in a country made a decision that they were going to have this, and the council was to come to court, and the judgment read that every councillor is entitled to a copy.
And I think we do need one hard copy. I mean, some of the plans have been atrocious to read, actually,
yeah,
this time.
I'm happy to do
no,
that.
I think I think we're all similar. We're quite happy to do that.
The chairman, as the East Devon District Council, is allowed to have any copy of any literature
that you've Absolutely. With that, I'll close the meeting and just remind members that we should be having a...
he's here.
Oh, he's here. I've been told he's here. So we have an item on. Yeah, comfort stop now, and then we'll have East Devon District Council talking to us about licensing, which members asked for. So those who want to stay, please do.